Hey, buddy, what's going on? You need to come join us because it's Don and I, and you're not hanging out with us, all right?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Jeep Live Podcast. We're a podcast where we celebrate that Jeep life, and I feel like we've been living that Jeep life to its biggest, brightest, worst, best, all those things this week, and joined by the two that can make this possible. Without them, I'm lost. I'm just waiting around. I got my two peeps with me. Hey, Don, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you, buddy?
I'm tired.
You've had better weeks, right?
It's been a week, man. We'll hit that week in review in just a minute. But yeah, it's been a week.
Yeah.
I think it all started last Sunday, and we'll get into that.
What was up last Sunday?
Well, we went off-roading, which was an amazing time. It was an awesome time. We talked about it on the show.
Danny got the chip in his windshield.
Yeah.
The ding in the windshield. Right. Well, you know what they say. Bad things come in threes. Yeah. What number are you at? I would say three. No,
three
I'd say
today.
Three because of the wheels.
Yeah.
You marred the wheels. Yeah. You got the windshield. You're good now.
Yeah. All right. We're done.
You also had a brake line go today when I was doing the brakes. And the
different car.
The e-brake literally fell apart.
That's literally its own. Oh.
Now, you're hearing from Bill. How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing well, Terry, you know.
Man, we spent a lot of time together today.
Yes, we did. I did a lot of work for you today.
Well, it's funny because the three of us have spent a lot of time together this week.
But not all together.
But not all three of us together. Yeah.
I got the pig helmet. The phone, the ringer's off. It's just the volume is up. Sorry, everyone out there.
I forgot to do that check on the checklist, I guess. I skipped through it because we
warned us all.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about our week in review. And like I alluded to earlier, you know, we talked about last Sunday having a great time out on the trail, and that was awesome. But yeah, I look back on it. I chipped my windshield on the way home, and now that thing's been hit by everything under the sun for 3.5 years, and nothing. You know, and I look on Facebook and online, and everybody's bitching. I have to swap this out for the fourth time this year. I'm driving a 2020, and it's a vertical piece of glass.
Yeah,
it's going to get damaged.
It's just how it is.
They get, and actually, if you can keep one long enough, they get hazy from the small nicks.
The small nicks, yeah.
Well, like the sand particles and stuff.
Yeah, and I see some of that in mine, but now I got a nice little dinger. So I'm going to get that taken care of
at some point. We know a guy.
We do know a guy, and he's already offered, but I can't keep my Jeep in my hand for long enough to do that.
Mine from Don back to you.
So when did I take that to you? Was it Tuesday? Or Monday?
Yeah, it was Monday afternoon.
Yeah. Which was awesome, you know. You helped me out doing some work, and then I get it back. I drive down. I get it back. Same day, I shear off the track bar.
No, was it the same day?
No,
you had it back. Friday, so you get 24 hours on it.
All right, 24 hours.
Yeah,
and I'm glad it happened there and not on the freeway today, down to.
Yeah, it would have been a mess on the turnpike.
Oh,
you would have been all over the place.
You would have hit a wall.
Yeah, probably hit a wall.
Absolutely.
But you know,
I don't know about the rear end.
Yeah, I've.
It was squirrely. It was squirrely at best.
Mm. I forget where I was going. I was with some people years ago, and somebody's. It was a back track. No, it was a front. Yeah,
fronts you lose steering.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah,
but rears was a front. I mean, if you're going, I think you might feel off, but you could probably get it off safely to the side of the road.
Imagine that thing going. So you're trying to correct it, and that axle's going the opposite way. And then
but
you
once
go
it
over,
reaches one to the end of the
but then it goes
the
other way.
Oh, yeah.
And it's walking back and forth.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was starting to do. It was starting to, I would try to correct it, and it would overcorrect. Mm-hmm. And it was squirrely on the way home from having pizza with Lexi. And back in, to the driveway and I hear it just scrape over the sidewalk. I was like,
it's cursing at me. Oh, yeah. It's like it's my goddamn fault. Yeah.
Dude, yeah, everything right. about that.
What the hell, man? You weld like shit.
It wasn't my welds, though. My welds held.
Yeah. Everything about that was me yelling at Don as loudly and the most profanity as I possibly yeah. could until I walked around and saw that it was just set, the track bar was just...
And then he double-checked with the text message. Did you weld that, or were those the OE welds?
No.
I could see that those were the OE yeah. welds. They were clear in the picture, but man.
So we should probably talk about what happened there, because I think this is important yeah. for people to understand the importance of having good equipment. And I'm not yep. knocking the Jeep. There's a lot of great parts on there, yep, but that yep. was one of the things that you've had problems with in the past. Mm-hmm. So rolling back time a little bit, we were up at AOAA on that horrendous day when everybody broke. Yeah. And we found out that your track bar was broke, like it literally
yeah.
broke and
yeah.
sheared some welds, you know, the extension, not the bracket on the axle.
Right, right.
Welded it up. And it was fine for a little bit, but now you lost the tag on the axle, the bracket on the axle. Yeah. And so if you take a look at that bracket, it's just a pedestal that bolts kind of to the existing one.
Yeah.
Now, if you take a look at like AV or I'm trying to think, JKS.
Yep. Some of the others.
They'll run the bracket up the axle with more support up there. There is a ton.
And they don't, they weld, but they also use a U-bolt.
It looks like an exhaust, right. You know, an exhaust clamp.
Yep.
And there is a ton of pressure on there, and you know, that's why you want to make sure you have one. That's one of the reasons why I moved mine to the frame side, because there's less force up in the frame side. Mm-hmm. You get better, you know, roll centers a little better.
Right.
But you know, probably, and you got something else going on. We were talking about it in the garage.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We're gonna try and figure that out. But those brackets, when they don't have the support they need, I mean, they just tear them apart, yep. you know. So,
well, I mean, once you change that angle and you extend it above it,
yep.
What that does, that creates, we saw leverage today when we used the pipe to undo yeah. a bolt, right?
Lug nuts were on with like a gazillion Uggadugas.
Well, they were on his Jeep too the first time I took them.
Oh,
off.
They were. Yeah, right, right. Yeah. I don't know who's doing it. And no, it's not me. Don't look at me. I didn't.
No,
know
I think it's a tire shop.
Yeah,
it's just dude. They got like
they
an
were
electric.
Like they were like 200 foot pounds.
Oh,
or
easy.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So leverage when you extend that tower up.
You're just wait a second. I'm the tire shop. Oh, no, you mean the tire shop before
on,
me?
No, on the other
the Liberty.
Oh,
on the Liberty.
But I'm saying I were on a JK too. Did you have the JK over
no,
there?
No.
They were
you were the tire shop for that.
Yeah, they were super, but before I even put
you've
the
had
tires
the wheels
on,
off. Yeah.
They were like 250 million foot pounds of torque.
Yeah, yeah, it was ridiculous. I haven't had lug nuts that tight in a long time. I was seriously afraid of shearing off.
That's how
bolt.
I was with his yeah. too.
I was like,
yeah. Well, so we, I did that, and man, Scott Ehrman and Bill Eustace kind of came to the rescue, and AAA, and we've got so hopefully, knock on wood, I might have my Jeep back tomorrow before this even airs, which would be awesome. But we'll see how it goes.
Need a ride.
I'm definitely going to need a ride. I'm rideless.
Nah, I got you.
I guess I would say I would just throw some roller skates, but it's wet out there.
It's real wet.
It's real wet. So that was cool. And then today, Jeep Enthusiast of Eastern Pennsylvania, the club we belong to, took a buttload of food, 13 Jeeps down to Philly. For Fill-A-Trunk, which is part of Preston Steve's Camp Out for Hunger, where they take food donations and try to help out with the Fill-Abundance.
Mm-hmm. Fill-Abundance, it's a food drive that...
basically, it's a year-long food yeah. bank that supplies yep. homeless shelters and other people that need food.
Facilities,
right?
Food banks. And yep. Right now, currently with the whole COVID situation, they have an increase of 60% of people coming to that need yeah. help and assistance right. with food because, you know, loss of wages, loss of work.
Right.
So, you know, they're in great need. They are, I think they're down there all week long. So if yeah. you want to send money, or, you know, if you're in the area and want to go to head down and drop off a trunk load of food, or, you know, whatever you can, it'd be greatly appreciated.
That's where the Braves get their Thanksgiving dinners from.
Right.
We use the money from Thanksgiving to buy Jeep parts.
I like it.
I like that.
Yeah, the Preston Steve has been doing Camp Out for Hunger for a really long time,
right.
And it's the largest food drive in the country.
Yep.
I know that Jackson, one of the MMR disc jockeys, he has a Jeep, big Jeep guy, has
Jackson's
his own club,
Jeep
Jackson's
club.
Jeep Club, and they help produce a lot. So the Jeep community is a big influence in that. So if you get a chance, make a donation to that and show up in your Jeep and drop it off.
Yeah.
It's a very worthwhile cause. And this is our third year doing it. First year, we took 4 Jeeps down. I think last year we took 8. I can't remember. It wasn't.
It was 8 or 10.
It was 8 or 10, and this year 13.
Yeah.
Would have been more had I had my Jeep functioning. Oops. It just didn't happen. I regret that I wasn't able to go down. And we spent the day in the shop with the Jeep Liberty.
Yes, we did.
And thank you for for putting up with that.
Brakes. Well,
how many two trips
to AutoZone.
It
was kind of like little things.
Yeah.
So we started out doing the brakes. The first side went well.
Yep.
Next side, taking off the front brake caliper, the brake hose is so rusted that like where the crimp is, it just like fell apart. And I'm like, tired of we need a new one. Ran to AutoZone, got one of them. Came back.
Lucky that happened in the garage too.
I know.
Yeah. We talked about that.
I was like, that could have blown out and you would have lost your brakes, bud.
Yeah. Well, split braking system, but
yeah,
after a couple pumps, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would have lost pressure pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I
wouldn't have.
Yeah. Fix that. And then go to the back brake. On the driver's side, pull off the caliper, and the emergency brake pads, like, split
just
in half.
Fell apart.
So, back to AutoZone, got the emergency brake kit and all the hardware for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I get one done, and I'm like, shit, well, I can't do just one. So, I had to turn it around, do the other side again.
That we already had it off.
That we already had done, mm-hmm. And I'm just like, oh, God.
Lesson learned. I should have just went ahead.
We didn't know. Normally, you don't have to do emergency brake pads on an automatic car.
It's a 15-year-old vehicle.
Yeah,
that's never had the emergency brake done.
And new rule. So when you do something on the Liberty,
draw
a 3-foot imaginary circle around whatever you're fixing and buy everything in that 3-foot vicinity. <Yeah. laughs>
It's a pain in the ass to go back to.
That's not a bad idea. I like that. As much as it'll bother
my... It's cheaper than buying a new car.
You're absolutely right. And then I drove it home and I was like, it's a brand new car.
Actually,
was,
those Liberties, I know you're not a huge fan of them.
Well,
they're solid.
They're solid.
They
car.
Are seriously solid.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's
a
15-year-old vehicle. And
that's what I said. If keep it, put a straight axle in the front, like a Dana 30, and you'd be like...
That thing would be an animal. They were heavy. They were tough.
Yeah.
3.7s kind of suck, but I mean, if you took care of them, they last.
Again, that 3.7's just 170,000 miles on it.
As long as it was taken care of.
Yep. Victor, I agree. Who uses the brake anyway? Well, it's an automatic. Yeah. I don't
Roger
know that it's...
Perry doesn't use the brakes, period.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, no. Why?
Why should I when I can use the back end sideways to slow me down?
So that really kind of closed out the week. And thank you both.
We talked about the rescue.
Oh. Oh.
That caused
Oh. Oh. So I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. And it's, you know, I believe in doing good things. I believe it's one of the reasons why I founded this Jeep Club with Bill and Brandon, and that's one of the reasons why I love my Jeep, because I feel like I can do good things even beyond what a normal capable car can do. So Grant Ludzinski put out a call on the Facebook group of our Jeep Club. He had gone out wheeling with a buddy of his, a couple buddies of his, and they went to this local place. You know, if you're in Quakertown, you've probably been to the Brickyard and you know what it is, but you know, I've never been there. I don't know where it is, but he put it out there that he's stuck, and he got that TJ stuck in mud. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. Actually, I texted Bill because he had originally said, I'm going to go out to Lake Noxamixon.
Lake Noxamixon.
That's the one.
To go hiking.
To go hiking.
Yeah, and I would have been closer to Quakertown than probably most of the people in Lehigh Valley. So, and I always carry the straps, that, and the other thing. You know, 12,000-pound winch, no biggie. right. Would have picked that thing up out of the mud like it was nothing. But we actually didn't end up going there. We kind of stayed closer to home.
Yep. And so I was like, all right, I guess I've tapped out my resources. It would be close to him. Don would be even further away. So I said, all right, I'll just jump in the Jeep and go. I'll be there in 20 or, you know, 25, whatever. So I jump in the Jeep. I cruise down there and get there. They had walked out to the trailhead, for what it was. It's an intersection. And they took me back to where they were, and sure enough, it was slippery because it rained and there was some mud.
Yeah.
And they got that TJ with, you know, they're not off-road tires or anything, but you know, it's a capable Jeep, but it's just not a big Jeep, and the tires weren't.
Well, I mean, they were high centered too, so they laid it up on the axles. They were in some ruts that looked like a pickup truck with 44s had carved out.
Right.
So, that happens.
And they were stuck, and you know, they didn't have any recovery gear, and you know, I think they had another vehicle at the trailhead that they hadn't taken back there because it might not have been as capable as that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, yeah, sure, no problem. I'll be happy to bail you out. So you know, hooked up the winch, pulled out, used my recovery gear, and you know, and then pulled them out. We had to go the trail backwards in reverse because it was too narrow for anybody to turn around. There was no room to turn around. You couldn't go forward because they couldn't traverse that. So I made sure to get them out safely. We get out there, and you know, it was a learning opportunity for me and my daughter, for me to talk to her because she's very interested in the Jeep community.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing lesson that was there for me was, you know, reach out if you need help.
Yeah.
And it's humiliating.
I don't know for it. I mean, that's off-roading.
Yeah, it
like
is.
Like, if you're not, I don't know. I don't feel like that.
I know you don't. You're not 18 years old, right?
It was worse when I was 18. I think that would have been like a badge of honor. I'd be like, look at me. Look at me.
Look at where I got stuck.
Yeah. I mean, granted, look, the bottom line is you don't wheel alone. You always make sure you have recovery gear. But he's a young kid. He's just getting into the hobby. He's going to learn. And I was there.
Yeah. I asked
a couple
for
of times.
Ask for help. And he did.
I can tell you a story that would blow your minds, but you know, some other time. But you know what I mean? He asked for help. And
Don't wheel alone. You just mentioned it. You know,
take another vehicle.
Because it was, you know, if it had another vehicle there that wasn't high centered, mm-hmm. they might could have pulled out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't have recovery gear, which is rule number three.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you have some recovery gear in your Jeep to help yourself.
Yep.
It doesn't even have to be, you know, a $600 winch on the front. You could get, you know, a hand winch.
Right.
And, you know, a couple of recovery straps, and you're under $100 to have that. And then number four, what was number four? I don't know.
Mm.
There was another lesson that I taught my daughter, with that, you know, make sure you have recovery gear, go with somebody, always ask for help. And I think, you know, just let people know where you're going to.
Well,
you know?
Yeah. So is that place a legit place to wheel?
Probably not.
Yeah. See, now that, I mean,
It's not a sanctioned place,
right.
You know, probably some industry owns it and has let it just, years, people just gone there and wheeled and fished and whatever around the area.
Right.
So I, you know, did know where you're going.
Right.
And, you know, people have been there, but I think it was kind of interesting that, you know, he caught flack from a few people.
They saw
and,
that.
And, you know, they're absolutely right. don't wheel alone. But you know what? The deal was done, and I guarantee you he will never wheel without another person.
You know, and
with
here's
him.
The thing. Now we've I know one of the somebody on there that we talk to frequently made it, and I think it was a legit, nice, polite, you know, post about, you know, don't wheel alone. Yeah. Now you know. There were some other posts on there, and you know, I just feel as though I guarantee you, any one of those people, you, me, Billy, have all made mistakes. I've wheeled alone.
Yeah.
You know, I've gone out to Bald Eagle, my own. You know, granted, I had recovery gear and stuff, but I've wheeled alone.
Yep.
I've wheeled without recovery gear. You know, I've been out and saw something I wanted to explore and didn't have my gear with me.
You know?
I don't think we should be so hard on people.
No, absolutely not. You know, it
seems like a nice kid.
Super nice kid. Really nice kid. And, you know, I enjoyed hanging out with him, even if it was, you know, for 30 minutes.
Right.
But it was one of those things where I got there in the daylight.
Mm-hmm.
By the time we were doing the actual recovery and going
out,
it was pitch black.
Right.
I mean, it was dark.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was one of those things. Just be prepared. Take another person with you. But even...
Well, he had another. You said he did.
He
just no recovery. Okay. But not but another vehicle.
Another vehicle that could get back there? No. But there was another guy in the club, Vincent, that came out and
I saw that
and showed up.
You think the Honda would have made it?
I know the Honda would have made it. Honda would have made it. Matter of fact, they would have just skimmed right
over.
Yeah,
that's right. Like the Lambo and Cannonball Run.
That's exactly right. It was great to have people jump on board and say, hey, I'm willing to come out and help.
Yeah, there's a lot of responses to that.
Yeah, it was. You know, and there were some, you know, I beat them to it just because of timing. I looked at it exactly the right time, you know, and I love that community is out there.
Mm-hmm.
That was the other thing. Help out when you can.
Yeah.
You know, that was, you know, pay it forward, do good stuff. That's kind of what we talk about. So it's, but yeah, I think Michael Fennell makes a really good point. If you go out alone, don't go out alone. But if you do, you're not really alone. You've got a community of Jeepers that have got your back, you know, and I encourage you to join a club wherever you are and get in that community if you're not already.
You know, like I said, my world was drag racing before I got in the Jeeps, and that's what drew me in is the people, you know, that really liked it.
I love it. Yeah. So yeah, that was a great little rescue, and you know, I actually had a couple of extra straps and shackles, and I just gave it to him. Said, "Here, man, start your recovery kit."
I thought that
together.
Was pretty cool to thank you.
It was really thoughtful of him, and I've had people help me through this, even up to today. I mean, every day people are helping each other, and I think that's I think that's really cool. So. You know, kudos.
Awesome of you guys to go out and help him. Awesome him to thank you. And just a whole bunch of good stuff.
It was
positive,
goodwill all around.
Good positive stuff.
Yeah, and then the MF-er breaks my track bar. No, he even texted me later. He's like, man, I feel responsible for your track bar. Can I give you some money?
He was like no, it was Don Bray.
I straight up said, nope, it was Don. Yep. Don't worry about it.
Yep.
No, it was good kid, and I enjoyed meeting him. And, you know, keep it a little drier next time, but come
but
out.
But you remember 18, that was like mud is a badge of honor. You know, you were just,
I know we've talked about it. We don't want anything to do with mud now.
No, but when you were 18, you were like, hell yeah.
Cause that shows you've taken
bring
your
that
Jeep
shit
somewhere
on.
Or your car somewhere, right?
Yeah. It's like, you wore it like a badge of honor.
Yeah. Not anymore. I don't want to clean it.
I'm looking at rock crawlers. Sorry.
Hey, while you're looking everything up, why don't we talk about, this event that we found?
Oh, here we go. So it is Wheel to Heel, which is a event that's being put on by Apex Off-Road, AOAA, and Mission 22. It is a fundraiser event to help benefit veterans, which Mission 22 is an organization that helps out veterans.
Well, their goal is to raise awareness for veteran suicide.
Correct.
Right? And we all know that when you actively do something like a veteran... When you stop doing it, you lose your sense of focus, your sense of belonging, well, your purpose?
They do. They say there's like a year period when they come back from doing a tour where there's like an adjustment period.
Yeah.
You know, I got family that
and some people make it through that and some people don't.
No,
right.
No.
And I'm super happy that Mission 22 does this sort of thing to help out. All right, keep going. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
So it's a fundraiser event. There's off-roading, raffles, best Jeep prizes, and more. It is Sunday, December 13th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. So you can go on their Instagram page or Facebook page that it is Wheel to Heal. They have an Eventbrite, which we'll post up the link on it.
Yep.
So everything is good on that. I'm looking to see what the price.
I didn't see the
price.
So
it's a donation to register. And then also there's the $33 per driver and $15 per passenger.
To AOA.
To AOA.
Yep.
So, but I hope they have a great event. I know definitely I'm going to try to get out there and have a...
Yeah, if I can. At least, I haven't seen my work schedule for them, but...
I haven't either.
If I can, I would definitely jump out and wheel there, see what else I can break. So it's a great event.
Yeah.
If you're a Jeep club or you know of an event in your area that you want us to talk about, send us an email at info@jeeplifepodcast.com and we'll be happy to talk about it and put it in that spot where we have events. So please do that. Let us know. We normally would have some sort of product review.
Which I forgot. I'm sorry, guys.
Bill forgot it. So I'm going to give
I can still talk about it for the, everybody online.
We need to see it. We need to see it. So we'll save it.
Fine. We'll save it for next week.
But I want
it has to do with cleaning.
It does. And cleaning is important. I want to talk about my KM3s.
Okay.
Man, what a difference those make. Holy cow. You know, got to drive them this... a little bit this week.
Yeah.
But we took them off-roading, and man, I think I said this on last week's podcast, but I'm going to have to adjust the way I drive off-roading now because I don't have to compensate as much because the tires really grab the rocks the right way. It's pretty awesome. And then just the road manners are just great. They did great in mud last night too when I was doing the rescue, so it was pretty awesome. So KM3s, they get high praise from me. Don, what review do we have?
We have a really good... We've been getting... And I think this guy's from Florida.
Yeah.
We've been getting a lot of them from Florida.
We've gotten several from Florida.
Yeah. This one is my favorite, though. I like this one.
Yeah, this is a good one.
Yeah. So let's read it here.
It's a great Jeep podcast. We start off buttering us up. I love it.
I know. This is the best Jeep four-wheeling podcast out there. Informative and entertaining. These guys are real world, easy to listen to Jeepers. They obviously put a lot of effort into this. Some of us more than others.
Whoa.
They're well informed and manage to reach newbie Jeepers without being boring, without boring our old timers or dumbing things down. The kind of guys you would like to have a beer with around the campfire after a day of off-roading. Well, we seem to be the group to be able to do that right now.
We've got that skill.
Yeah, we're covered.
Check on that checklist. Come on up and we'll put a campfire together.
So although I live in Florida now, I've been Jeeping since the 80s, mostly in New York State. So I can relate to the kind of wheeling these guys are enjoying in PA. There's nothing quite like Northeast Jeeping. Keep up the great work, guys.
That's awesome.
That was my favorite one. I like that one.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I love Northeast Jeeping. I like Southwest Jeeping. I just put my four wheels anywhere that isn't asphalt and I'm happy.
I hear you.
Thank you. I think that was Pilot Emoji hand on face is his name.
The Thinking Mon.
Yeah. So we appreciate that. And they, you know, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It means a lot to us. It helps us
with
the ratings.
That. It just feels good, though. I mean, we do this because we like interacting with the Jeep community. And when we have people that, you know, tell us they enjoy it, it's kind of like fuel for the fire. You know, I love making people happy. My whole life centers around doing my best to make people happy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So,
you're right. It's... We don't get paid to do this yet.
If you want to pay us to do this, right, by all means.
By all means. But
we take donations in Jeep parts, monetary, food, beer,
like rollback rides.
Yeah. We're like a loyal dog. You just pat us on the back and say, good job. Good job.
Yep.
Good boy. Good boy. We're going to keep coming back and I love it,
but we enjoy it.
We do.
So
I love it. So let's get into wheels.
Yeah, man.
Tell me about wheels.
Let me get my notes up. So let me ask you guys this first. What wheels right now, what would you, if money was not an option, what wheel would you buy?
I'm going to be honest. I'd rebuy the ones I just put on.
I thought you would say that.
Those Baja 2s.
We're going to talk Baja about those a little bit.
Screams too. I really like those wheels.
Yeah, good.
They look good on the Jeep.
They do.
Man, it warms my heart looking at them.
Yeah.
I'm a little different.
Yeah. I know you are. What would you get?
I would get it like a set of forged aluminum, like Method beadlocks, or a set of Raceline beadlocks.
Okay.
Like some serious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Serious stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Good deal.
So Hutchinson's too. But
yeah, I was gonna. That would be my pick.
I was gonna say
no object. Yeah.
Hutchinson is my pick.
Yeah. No, I really like the Method. The lineup from Method and also Raceline.
Hutchinson or AAV for me. It'd be one of the two of them.
Right,
the AAV Bora beadlock. I think they're Bora.
Yeah, Bora beadlocks.
Yeah. What? So, why? I know why you chose yours, and we talked about that already a little bit. Why would you choose those? Why would you choose a set of Racelines or Methods?
Just the. I know they hold up well.
Right.
And I know they're a tough wheel.
Right.
So, like, when it comes down to it, it's just what I've seen out there. And, see these giant rigs, heavy, heavy giant rigs.
Sure. Abusing the snot out of them.
Abusing the litter. And
yep.
You just see them, they hold up, and they're rubbed up against rocks and and that. And for some odd reason, they just keep on chugging lugging.
They do. They definitely do.
And that comes down to a lot of it is the strength of the wheel. So how it's manufactured, whether it's like, it's a machined wheel. They also come with a lot of good backspacing options. The options that they put into their wheels.
Yeah.
It's, the design of the pattern of the beadlock, how it grips the wheel. That's,
So Randy had a good question here, and we're going to jump into beadlocks a little bit. So they're not legal in PA because they're not DOT approved.
Except for
Hutchinson's AV. And it's in my notes. We'll talk about it then. There's another company out there. But they're not DOT approved. And the reason they're not DOT approved is because they tend to lose air and they tend to work, the bolts work loose on them and,
you do have to torque the bolts every so often.
Well,
so many miles.
On some the there's some kind of lock or something on. I was reading on the Hutchinson's. We'll have to do some more research on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's the big thing with them. They're just, unfortunately, they're just not DOT approved unless you get in the Hutchinson, or AV. So. But there's a lot more that goes into wheels rather than just the offset, they're tough or, what they look like. You've got to take, like you and I were talking about this, one of the problems with one of the coilover kits we were looking at, you have to run a crazy backspace on it, an offset on it.
Oh, yeah.
So, you've got to have the right backspace on it. There's things that go into it, like bolt pattern. There are things that go into... There's a lot of thought that goes into wheels. Like, if you're going to get into a more than just your standard build, even at your standard build, there's some thought that needs to go into the wheel you're going to use. First of all, I'm on the mindset, and we're going to talk about some of these things you need to think about, and then we'll get into some wheel terminology. But
weight.
What? Weight of the wheel?
Weight of the wheel.
Weight of the wheel.
One thing you need to look at.
You do. You really do. Because of rotational mass,
right?
And you already got a ton of it there. So the more rotational mass you put on there, the harder it is to slow the vehicle down, the harder it is to
get it rolling.
Over objects. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. So rotational mass is a big one. But one of the big things is tires, like wheel size. What size do you want to run? Now it depends on the wheels. Some wheels you can get away with as small as a 16-inch, but there isn't that many options, tire options in 16-inch wheel size. So the next up and probably most popular is the 17 inch, which is what we're all running.
Mm-hmm.
Which allows you to air down, gives you plenty of clearance for the brakes. If you want to put a, you know, a bigger brake kit on it, you have a little bit of room there. You know, there's a ton of tires out there for the 17 inch size wheel.
Mm-hmm. Now that's for the JK.
That's for the JL.
And right. The JTs. And, but when you're talking about TJs, the kind of the equivalent of that is 15s.
Right. 15, right.
When you're talking about TJs and YJs.
Yep.
XJs.
Thank you.
Think of it as kind of the equivalent. So if we say 17 on JKs. And,
which brings me to another thing you got to consider, bolt pattern. So the JK, when they went from the TJ to the JK, they changed the bolt pattern. Both of them are 5-lug, but the one on the TJs, the XJs, it's a 5x4.5 inch pattern. The JKs are 5x5 inch pattern.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to make sure you're getting the right bolt pattern. Don't buy adapters because they do make adapters out there that you can switch from. You just put yours on the on the wheel, and it's like a spacer.
It's kind of like a spacer,
They offset the lugs on them, and then you can put the other one on. And we'll talk about why spacers aren't great then.
Yeah.
So you get, you know, the other thing that you really need to think about is wheel width. How wide do you want to run? So that's really, that should be dictated by, you know, how wide a tire you're going to run.
What size tire you want.
Right. If you're going to run a 12.5, you better have at least an 8-inch wide wheel.
Yeah.
Okay. Because what happens is if you don't, you pull that tread in and it tends to balloon out. Yep. And you're not going to wear real well.
Yep. I would even recommend like an 8.5, 9.
Yeah. But they're getting harder to find. You know, they're harder to find. So width is really important. And then you get into two things which make up the width, which is the backspace. And the backspace is the amount of space behind the wheel from the mounting surface. That's how far back it goes. Right. Okay. So the lower that number is, the more that tire is going to kind of stick out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the offset is sort of the opposite, but in the front of the wheel. So if you were to draw a center line down through the wheel, it's basically where the mounting surface is in relationship to that point. And this stuff is all really important. So standard backspacing, I think probably what most of us are running are 4.5 is probably the most common. I would say unless you're running beefed up axles, 4.5 is a maximum I would do. Because the more backspace that you get, or the less backspace, the lower that number gets, and the more offset you get in the front of that wheel, the more stress you're putting on the axle bearing. Right. So if you take a look at companies like AEV, they run like a lot of their wheels are 4 3/4 backspacing. One of the reasons I liked your wheel, it's a 4 3/4. My fuels are 4.5. Billy just looked down. These are 3.5, aren't they? Yeah, he's running 3.5. Yeah. But in some cases, you have to do that to clear suspension components, wider tires, whatever. So, you know, it all depends. Those are numbers, things that you want to look at, you know. And 5 is, you know, not an uncommon backspacing for some of the ways. I think the 1941s you were looking at were 5?
No, maybe. They weren't as good as
Were 5. So you have 4 3/4. I think those were 5. Right. I could be wrong, but. But yeah, the standard is like 4 3/4 is a really good, I think that's what my Savagres were, my AVs were 4 3/4 on my 2011. Yeah. My fuels are 4.5.
Mm. We're good.
So, yeah. So then we get into what type of wheel do you want? You know, there are beadlocks. Beadlock basically pinches the tire. The tire's bead, so it doesn't slip off the inner groove and lose air. So basically it allows you to air down further. Your tires more because the way a tire works is you have this rubber bead fits on the inside and there's sort of a lip on both inner edges of the wheel. And the air is what keeps that pushed against it. So I really wouldn't air down much more than, I'd say 10 PSI is like about as low. 10, 12 PSI.
Without a beadlock.
Without a beadlock.
I run 12.
Yeah. Without a beadlock. That's where I'm at. I'm 12, 13 without a beadlock.
Yep.
10, you're really going to be pushing it. And, you know, without a beadlock. Now, if you're not running beadlocks, I just read a thing online. There's some guys up north in Alberta, Canada, that are running 3 PSI in their beadlock. Crazy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
3 PSI in the snow.
I think Eric runs 8.
Yeah, I've heard 6, I've heard 7, I've heard 8, but 3 PSI. But now they're only doing that thick, powdery snow, right,
so to get them really low. Lay that tire out.
Right, and they want them to float. They want to get up on top of that thick, powdery snow up there. They don't have snow like we have. They have the good stuff. So.
But that, when you're doing that with rocks, can you run the chance of pinching it between the metal and the rock at that point and doing damage and cutting it?
I guess if you rolled it in far enough. Yeah. Yeah, there is some. I mean,
at some point there's a loss to that, right?
I think, you know, the lowest I would go is like 8-6, you know, on a beadlock. But again, I get what these guys are doing. It's the same thing as you do in sand, you know, with the tire to float.
Sure.
So that's the whole idea behind it. You can just drop the tire pressures down real low. Now, they use beadlocks in drag racing because, one, they're running lower tire pressures and slicks. Two, it helps to keep that wheel, from the tire, from actually spinning in the wheel.
Right.
You know, kind of important.
And when in drag racing, those tires change shape tremendously.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah.
They actually fold on each other.
Yeah. You can see the sidewalls wrinkle.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. They're crazy. So, you know, and then there's another important, and this is really going to dictate by how much money you want to spend, but forged versus cast wheels.
Mm-hmm.
Forged wheels really, so the difference is forged wheel is cut from one piece of metal. They're stronger primarily due to the thermal refinement of the forging process. So it's a much stronger wheel, much more expensive as well. Cast, just like the name says, they're putting a cast, they pour, you know, molten metal in there or whatever, and they cast them, and they're not as strong. But they're a lot cheaper as well. So it depends what you want to do. You know what I mean? When we talk about method and race line, a lot of those are two-piece, three-piece, forged. You know, their beadlocks are probably three-piece forged wheels.
Mm.
So, you know, that's another decision you want to make. You know, and then you have you got to really think about, do I want a one-piece, a two-piece, or a three-piece wheel? So one-piece is what everybody thinks of. It's the wheel's one-piece, legitimately. Right. Two-piece wheels, now this is different from the street scene than it is from, you know, the off-road scene. The street scene, the two-piece wheel, the center of the wheel actually comes off on bolts from the outside of the wheel.
Right.
We talk about it in the off-roading business. It's sort of a hyper beadlock, like we were talking about, where there's not a centerpiece to the, not centerpiece, but it's not a full beadlock. It just basically pinches on the one side. Like, I believe the AAVs are like that.
They do.
It just pinches them in. Now, a three-piece, you actually, there's the bead that comes off, and then there's a ring that goes over top that pinches it too, and then the bead clamps that down. So that's a three-piece wheel. You know, and then when you get into the trucking industry, we talk about two-piece wheels. They actually bolt two pieces in the hubs in the middle. They don't use those anymore, but they used to. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different meanings, but in the off-road industry, we typically mean two pieces, like that hyper beadlock or whatever they call them, where it just pinches it, and then a three-piece usually has the rubber, it's just like a sleeve that sits down over the inside of the wheel that pinches the tires to the outside of the bead of the, you know.
Right.
There. So, again, and money's going to dictate that. So the cheapest route for you to go is a one-piece cast wheel.
Right.
And that's probably your average wheel.
I would even say like that's a steel wheel is your cheapest.
Right, steelies. Right. And that's another, you know, I didn't have that in my notes, but you have steel or aluminum.
Yep.
Other two big materials we're using in the off-road industry, but, you know.
A lot of guys run steelies just for like an off-road scene because steel is easier to manipulate. You know, if you bend it, you can actually heat it up and bend it back, where aluminum, you bend it, you're
screwed. Well, you can sometimes, if it's not bad enough, you can whack an aluminum wheel back out. Yeah. But the problem is it does. And right. So then you end up with cracks and things like that.
Yep.
Another thing to think about is whether or not you want a lug centric or a hub centric wheel. So let me explain what hub centric, first of all, is that the wheel itself centers on the hub, right? And that is the way the factory wheels are machined. That's the way AV wheels are machined.
A lot of method wheels are machined like that.
Yes. Some of the Quadratec wheels are machined that way. So you usually find it in a company that does that specializes in one vehicle, because they don't need to machine a whole bunch. They don't need one wheel to fit a whole bunch of different size vehicles.
Right.
The other one is lug centric. And honestly, anymore, I don't think it makes a big difference. 30 years ago,
it did.
They didn't, the lug-centric wheels were not, they didn't ride as well. So my fuels are lug-centric.
Mm.
Now, the important part to, and I'll honestly say, I wouldn't even bother researching whether it's hub or lug. Just know that there are a few of the more expensive wheels out there that are hub-centric. AV, some of the Quadratec, the...
Well, all right, so the hub-centric puts more of the weight on the hub.
Well, it centers it on the
hub. It just centers it. And, so it's better for rotation.
Right.
It's smoother.
And
well, it used to
but
be.
But it also doesn't, it takes less strain on the actual bolts.
No, I don't think it doesn't change anything.
No, it just centers it so it's a smoother ride.
Okay.
At least that's how it used to be, but now everything's machined so well and the manufacturing process.
More accuracy.
Right.
It more depends on how you put the wheel on.
Okay.
That's what it really comes down to. Whether you get your lug nuts, if it's a lug centric, you kind of tighten the lug nuts down and then you want to use two to actually center the wheel onto the bolts where it's you like tighten.
Well, you do a star pattern of tightening
the star pattern. Right. After you get those two kind of tightened down, where hub centric is, you just put the wheel on and you put the bolts in, and it's already centered. It's already centered. You're good to go.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I think another important part to this is that you got to make sure with lug centric wheels that you're using the right lugs too.
Right.
So it's not as important on a hub centric, but like a lug centric, you want to make sure that you're using the right ones. Like when we put yours on, I checked and they manufactured those wheels to be used with the factory Mopar lug nuts. Now my fuels, because your Quadratec are not, yours are lug centric like mine are. They're not hub centric. Right. I think it's the Rubicon wheels that are the hub centric from them.
I think so, yeah.
But then my fuels, I actually have a special set of lug nuts that I use for the fuels. I couldn't use I guess I probably could, but it wouldn't be as good.
Right.
Engagement center as well. So, that's a big deal, whether you want to do lug-centric or hub-centric. I shouldn't say it's a big deal. It used to be a big deal. I don't think it's as big as it used to be. DOT approved beadlocks. We have the AAV. They're DOT approved centerline. And Hutchinson are the only ones currently that are DOT approved.
Which the AAV aren't DOT approved in the beadlock position. They have, the way that they did it was you can put it on the outside and bead lock it, or you can put it on the inside lip, which is a standard bead. So the standard bead is the DOT approved version.
Okay. Yeah.
And then it's considered like a removable rock ring on the outside.
Ah.
So that's how they did it.
So it's kind of like a double wheel. Like you have a regular, and then you have
two options.
Right.
With the Boras.
Yeah. Interesting. So yeah, those are the only ones in center line. They have a set and the Hutchinsons, I think they use like a clamp, like we were talking about, that neural clamp. Yep. So, my go-to wheels, the wheels that I've just from mounting them over the years and handling them and just in the wheeling business, I do like fuels. I don't like the way all of them look. Some are a little too mall rated for me.
Yeah, that's fine.
But you know what? The wheel overall is a good wheel. And they do got some, like, I love the way my fuel beasts look. I like those.
Yeah, they look good.
Some fuels look great and tough, and others look, I don't dig the look as much, but they're really good wheels. Hutchinson, if I had, you know, if I had a never ending wallet, it would be Hutchinson wheels, you know, hands down. I mean, they're the best of the best in my opinion. They're actually, they got started doing government work. So that's where their bread and butter is.
Okay.
Yeah. AAV, I've owned a set of AAV wheels, Vagres. Man, they're killer wheels. I mean, they were always within balance. They're not that heavy. They were a hub centric wheel. They rode nice. They balanced nice, and durable. I like
them. And
they
look good.
They do.
They've got a lot of great looking designs.
And the offset is just right. The backspace is just right with them. I mean, they're really made for the Jeep.
I like my AVs.
Yeah, I really do.
They look good.
Yep. Yep.
I don't have AVs.
No, you don't have AVs.
My bad.
Yeah.
What are yours?
I have AV springs and shocks. Yeah, I have Mickey Thompson's.
Mickey Thompson's.
Yeah. And I like them. They're all right.
Yep, absolutely.
Not a bad wheel.
And then one of my newest ones that I put in my list are going to be the Quadratec, the Bajas. Yeah. I like them. I really did. You know, and here's the thing. Do I think there's a stronger wheel out there? Sure there is. Do I think there's a more durable wheel? Sure there is. But at $120 a pop, I think it's probably one of the best bangs for your buck on the market, to be honest with you.
I have gotten so many compliments on those wheels.
I'm tired of hearing about them.
I know.
Shut the hell up, Terry.
And you give me those compliments all the time on those wheels. I mean, we were talking about
it. They look good.
They do. Yeah. They do. I like I said, I
still,
you know,
shut the hell up.
I mean, apple for oranges. The fuels, I think my fuels are a little bit heavier a wheel. I think they're a little bit stronger a wheel. But they're also $230 a wheel. And when I scratch, it hurts a lot worse than when you scratch yours.
Yeah.
And the kind of wheeling that we're doing, I don't think my wheel is going to make a difference any more than your wheel is. I don't think we're hitting things hard enough to be breaking aluminum wheels at this point. I know you have. I was fucking Terry and I.
Literally, I have a wheel that's broken. It has a crack in it. That's my spare. Yeah.
We hit things a little less.
Yes.
Less hard. Yep. And a little less
work hard, play harder.
last thing I have for you guys is I'm going to quote some stuff in the state inspection book. I know it is, but I need our listeners to be informed.
No, seriously, this is important.
We're
going to
speed it up because it's the legalese.
This isn't real long, but this is important because, again, we're all about educating people.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so here's what you know, I want you to know what you're up against.
Yep.
Okay, and so that you understand. And you can make the decision if you want to roll the dice. But then don't get mad if you get pulled over and get upset with the police officer, you know. I didn't know, because we're telling you now. So,
they do pull you over, and the ticket for tire sticking out past your fender is $125 for one tire, just to let you know. Quick little disclaimer.
Currently, right now, he'd probably only have to pay $3.
True.
Is that axle sticking?
And let me tell you, it's per tire.
It's per tire.
The way it's written. So if you have four tires sticking out past your fenders,
it's $500.
It's a solid $500. Just letting you know, quick legal disclaimer, please. Thank you very much.
So in Section E, which is passenger car and light truck of the Pennsylvania State Inspection Manual, under Section 1, subsection number 20, a tire may not come in contact with the body or chassis. So one thing when you're going bigger, and this goes to that wheel offset thing, you want to make sure you have, and this is so here's where it gets tricky. You want to make sure you have enough offset, or not too much offset, but enough backspace so that you don't rub on things, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to be out past the fender flares, because in Section E, passenger car and light truck, Section 1, subsection 9, a tire's tread extends beyond the outer edge wheel housing, inclusive of the fender flares. Now, when they're talking about that, that's the flat part. There's been a lot of talk over the years, do my side lugs count? They do not. It is the flat part of the tread. That cannot be out past fender flares.
Okay. Yeah. Right?
So if you got a little bit of sidewall sticking out, that's okay.
It's fine.
Yep. And then the last one that relates to what we're talking about in Section E, subsection 1, section 1, subsection 21, spacers over a quarter inch in thickness are used to increase wheel track. So that's another thing. We didn't talk a whole lot about it, but for a number of reasons, spacers aren't a great idea. So one, they add a lot of pressure onto the
wheel bearings.
Two, they need to be put on in a specific way or they're going to loosen up on you.
They need to be hub centric.
They need to be put on. There's actually a procedure for putting them on. Yeah. Good ones anyway. And, two, they're hardened to bearings. And three, they're illegal. Mm-hmm. So, and there's a reason why they're illegal. So anyway, it's pretty much what I have for you guys tonight.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's important to know wheels. I love, if you have a set, a stock Jeep with stock wheels on it, sweet, cool, love it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're in the market to get new wheels, there are some things that you need to consider. And definitely, you know, don't take just our word for it. Yeah, we're 90% of the world right there. But do some research. Look out there. Some of the brands that Don has listed are definitely...
They're great brands.
They're great brands. And you very rarely hear bad things about them. So, you know, look them in. Do some research.
Look at warranties.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Randy threw out there, he had a question. He said, Bill, didn't you glue your tires to the rims?
So I did.
You used bead sealer on it, right?
No, I actually used, it was like a, there's a specific glue/caulk, and I would have to do my research again to find what it is. But it actually, you like glue the bead.
You're bonding it to the wheel
so that you can air down. More technically,
right. Yeah. What happens when you gotta change him?
It's a bitch.
Yeah, I'm sure
I'm out.
No, actually, it breaks pretty easily. Surprise! Like I broke them with a high lift jack.
Okay.
It just creates a seal.
Right.
That's a little bit more. Another thing that they do it for is so when you're airing down and you're in mud.
Yeah.
It fills the
I've gotten like tree bark stuck in my stuff already. And then it
never
leak.
Happens. Yeah. So you don't get the little pebbles stuck in it.
Yep.
So I took the wheels off the rims. I scraped the actual bead to make sure there was no like grit.
Right.
Washed it all, and then you glue it on.
Interesting.
And yeah, so I did do that once. I liked it. It worked well.
Yeah.
So I mean, I would do it again, but I just. Didn't have the time to do it when I was mounting the 37s.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
It just creates a better seal.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Make sure no dirt, crud, that, and the other thing gets in the
bead. Now, one
thing
you might want to, and I tell a lot of people this, and it's hit and miss with this stuff, but you got to be careful putting stuff in new tires because of tire sensors.
Right.
You know, like I know, I think tire slime, the stuff they use in mountain bikes, the freaking stuff is amazing, but it ruins sensors.
Yeah.
Right.
And this wasn't in the tire. It was just along
around
the bead.
Right.
So
right,
I'm
right.
not messing yep. with anything inside the tire. Yep. And it is a specific glue that you use. Like I looked it all up and it's like, it's meant for rubber to steel or rubber to like a painted aluminum surface.
Yeah.
So it's like very specific stuff.
Yeah.
I'd have to research to find it, though. I think I use, like, Loctite. It's a specific kind of... Yep.
All right. Well, that shuts it down on wheels. Thanks, Don, for that. That's awesome. And, you know, if you have any questions about it, hit us up at info@jeepblackpodcast.com or, you know, our pre-show on Sunday evenings are a good place to ask those questions, too. But what's really important is you going to the JeepLifePodcast.com and clicking on that swag button. And we've added some really nice swag. There's computer bags, there's blankets now,
ooh,
hoodies, there's a poster. Get some posters, decorate your room, your garage, wherever, you know, think of us. There's hoodies. It's pretty awesome. I think we even have like if you like to cook and sit out by it and grill, we have an apron now to do that. Yeah, look at that.
Really?
We got an apron.
Apron.
Yeah.
Drawstring bag.
How cool is that?
Yes,
we are cool.
So Shattered Dream Designs takes care of all of our swag for us, and they do a great job, and they've hit us some real nice materials.
I think I
now.
Want that. Hit that order button for the water bottle.
I know. The water bottle's nice.
Is it? Is this aluminum or
it is.
Steel?
No, it's plastic? Probably satin aluminum. Let me see. It's aluminum.
I think.
It looks
hit the
nice.
Buy now.
We're buying.
You
our
can do
own
a
shit.
White. You can do a white or silver. So.
And remember, everybody, this does give us a little bit of a kickback. It helps out Shattered Dream Designs, and also the podcast gets a couple bucks so we can get some more stickers to send out to everybody.
Yeah.
So
or pay our podcast bill.
Or pay our podcast bill.
Yeah, right.
Oh, and that battery backup costs a lot of money. And so, the Dropbox and all this equipment.
Yeah. You're really good at telling everybody where to find us. Where do they find us?
So I want everybody to head over to our YouTube channel right now and smash that subscribe button. Smash it. We've been slowly gathering more and more followers and subscribers on YouTube. This is where you're going to find all of our amazing videos that Frank works on, that we work on, staying up to date with helpful tech tips and the driveway mechanic and off-roading and just doing all kinds of fun stuff. So smash that subscribe button, and we are going to be having a giveaway for our 300th subscriber as well.
Is it for the 300th subscriber or
not
for
the 300th everybody? But once we hit 300, we're going to take everybody's name, put it in, like the, right. In a bucket, and
come on, daddy needs new. No, wait. I'm not eligible, am I?
No, no, you're not
eligible. At all. All
right.
So that's going to be our giveaway. And also head over to our Facebook page for everybody out there right now. If you're listening live, you know where we're at. Make sure you're followed and subscribed, so you're going to get that up to date whenever we go live. Also head over to our Instagram page, Jeep Life Pod, where you're going to get hooked up with all of our latest videos, announcements, releases, events we're at, pictures, small little videos, reels, everything. So it'll be you're staying up to date with the Jeep Life Podcast.
Yeah, I love it. We have two discount codes to throw out there.
Yep.
Jeep Life Pod 15 is your discount code for 15% off of Power Tank, the full system.
Correct.
Which is awesome. I know that we run Power Tank.
Absolutely love Power Tank. They're great. Great setups, great systems. You're using compressed CO2 to fill up your tires, which is actually better for your tires. It doesn't put moisture into the tire, which can cause issues. Also, we have a second discount code.
Yeah. Is it a discount code?
Well, Armor Light just released their two-door pre-order.
This is huge. Yeah.
So for the Jeep JK two-door, they released their flooring system. You can head on over to their website. They're having a sale right now. And also, you can pre-order your two-door full flooring system from Armor Light, which, you know, those systems are absolutely amazing, super easy to clean. It's kind of a little bit of a bear to put in, but once it's in, clicks in, it's awesome. It's worth every penny. I absolutely love my Armor Light system, and I recommend it to every person that owns a Jeep.
It was under 2 hours to do the install. Yeah. I mean, it was a tough 2 hours, but it was still...
It really, we kind of did it at the hottest time of the day, it was like 900 degrees, a gazillion percent humidity, and the sweat was just dripping.
Yeah, so go to our YouTube channel and see the install video for that, but that flooring system is fantastic.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I think I'm getting one. I really do.
After I get my Jeep fixed, it's...
What keep looking at me for? It wasn't my fault, my friend. Not my fault.
No. No blame whatsoever. But, you know, for Bill, Don, and myself, thanks for listening to us at the Jeep Life Podcast. Tell your friends, and here's a big Jeep wave to you, everybody. Have a good night, everybody.
God damn it, Terry!